Welcome to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod. Today on the show, I'm joined by Aria Tesselin, a pop classical artist. She's in studio with me tonight, and we're going to have a little fun interview with her and find out all about her. For many of you here listening tonight, it's reading week for you guys, and many of you have plans to fly down to the United States. Whether you're flying down or going to take a boat down, you're going to have to pay a lot more money in the future if Obama gets his way. Obama's proposed a $5.50 tax on flights and boats headed to the United States from Canada, according to AOL.com. Obama's 2012 budget includes this tax, which the administration says will bring in an extra $110 million a year to improve border security between Canada and the U.S. According to StatsCan, 16.3 million people took transborder flights to Canada from the to the United States from Canada in 2009. Personally, I think this is really unfair. I don't agree with it. I saw it on the news and I was pretty upset about it because we here in Canada already pay an unfortunate amount of tax on flights in Canada to the international flights. There's, you get a ticket and half your flight cost is a tax. So it's just really unfair that this has to happen. And I sat watching the news saying to myself, why are you taxing us? Tax your own people, because it's not our problem that you're in debt. There's other solutions. And if anything, this isn't a good thing for America. This solution doesn't help, because there's probably a lot of Canadians that aren't going to fly down, or, I'm sure Florida is saying we don't want this because they depend on tourism and Canadian snowbirds going down every year. And this is just another tax that we have to pay. And it adds up. The $200 flight becomes $400 after tax. And now you're going to add on another $5. It's a big difference. And you add that up and it's just not worth it. It's just totally not worth it. And I just find it frustrating. It might encourage people to drive more, but at the same time, it's not really going to do anybody good. So I don't agree with this at all. And it was really frustrating for me to have to hear this. And I hope it doesn't go in the 2012 budget. So we'll see in the next year or two what happens. Also, on the news, Vancouver might be getting their NBA team back. That is, if the owners of the Canucks get their way. They inquired about the New Orleans Hornets and their franchise and if they're for sale or not, and moving them to Vancouver. Personally, I don't know if this is a good idea for Vancouver. I mean, it's a great idea for Vancouver, obviously, but Vancouver couldn't support a team then. I don't know if they can support it now. I just don't see them really interested in it. If it's not Canada's own team, the Raptors aren't doing the greatest, and they get a decent crowd, but I just don't see Vancouver. If they couldn't support it once, I can't see why they'd support it again. Yes, I understand the dollar was extremely low back then. It was about 50 to 65 cents to the U.S. dollar, and today we're above the U.S. dollar. So I can understand the money makes sense, but I don't know if people in Vancouver are interested. I don't know, but I'm not against it. I just don't think it will work, and that's kind of how I feel about this. I mean, I'd like to see it happen, because obviously another Canadian team and for professional sports, always a good thing if you're in Canada, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to work. Also, if you watched the NBA All-Star game last night, or on Sunday night, I should say, Blake Griffin was a star. He didn't get the MVP award, but he's a star from the Clippers. He's really, really popular. I love watching this kid. I think he's going to be fun to watch for years to come. He's an absolute fan favorite. You can tell he's a fan favorite when he goes to other stadiums and the people in the crowd cheer for him. They want him to score the basket. I watched the Milwaukee Buck game where that's exactly what happened. They booed because the Clippers didn't pass him the ball to slam dunk it in, and I just thought that was awesome. And he's a lot of fun to watch. He's a good kid. And I just think totally, it's a great, great future for the NBA. After the break, we'll be talking about the Leafs' latest moves. We're going to talk about some other great stuff, and we have the interview coming up, so you won't want to miss that. So we're kicking it off with some great music.
One in, last one out the club, bursting in, passing out in the club. Back at it, this cat is the wit and the charm, taking you higher life, back hitting your arm, bringing the fire, making you bend, ring the alarm. Let me see you clap and spin, baby, come on. Stand there, huh? But you too cute to dance? Or you scared?
It ain't really that hard to do. I ain't trying to be in love with you. All I wanted was a moment or two. See if you could do that switcheroo. Shut your mouth, fool, hit your crew. The thick body and the red 1-2.
here waiting on you to see if y'all could do that switcheroo. Hey, hey,
that's what I'm talking about.
Do that there, man.
All right, welcome back to Radio Nation. 7:45 here in the studio. So if anybody's a hockey fan out there, you will know that the Maple Leafs moved Thomas Carberry, longtime defenseman for the Leafs, to Boston, getting a first-round pick, and they got prospect Joel Colburn, who I think is a pretty decent hockey player. He's really big for he's really big, 6'4", 6'3", but he doesn't use his size to his advantage. So if he can use his size to his advantage, he'll be a great fit for the Maple Leafs because they could use some size up front for sure. And he's not a physical guy, which I think that might change with his play in the AHL, in the Marlies, but he's a good pickup. Also last week, Christopher Stieg from Maple Leafs went to Philadelphia. Leafs got even more draft picks, which is good because the Leafs have been needing draft picks, and I know they're making a push for the playoffs right now, and they're winning 1-0 over the Islanders currently, but at the same time, I think they need to look long-term. I think they need to sort of rebuild and continue to do what Brian Burke is doing, and that is get picks, and even though low in the draft, it doesn't mean anything. If you're a team like Detroit and you get low draft picks, you still find the best players available. And the Leafs need to start doing that. I think the Leafs will do that. And it's just, you know, I'm really, really impressed with the way Brian Burke's running this team. I hear a lot on the radio stations about guys knocking Burke, saying, you know, he's not doing a good job, he's not doing this, why is he moving this guy, why did he get this pick? And I find something that's really frustrating is the fans that listen, that call into these shows, you know, they're the same fans that complain, we don't have a first-round draft pick, we don't have a first-round draft pick, then they get a first-round draft pick, and like, oh, we got a low first-round draft pick, it's not going to do anything, this is a terrible draft year. And I find that some of the best draft years are actually the ones where people don't expect the players to be that good because they end up turning to be great players. But it wasn't expected. I think if you're the Leafs, getting the picks is what you need to do, and you need to keep doing that. You know, they got to start. If they don't make the playoffs, they need to finish really in the bottom half and get a decent pick, even though they don't have their own first-round draft pick. They have others. And I think they may end up moving one of those first-round picks for a centerman, which is what they really need. But we'll see what happens there. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the New Jersey Devils. They're on fire lately. They've won their last 7 games. I don't think the Devils are going to make the playoffs either. I'd like them to, but I don't see this happening. They have a great set of players that have, for the most part of the season, underperformed and underachieved, and I just find it is a little too late. Ilya Kovalchuk, though, I have to say, he is playing amazing. He is doing really well. I like how he's playing. There's a game against the Leafs where he just played with so much confidence. And it's nice to see that in a guy who's been struggling all year long and with a 15-year, $100 million contract. You expect that out of him. Now he has 21 goals. Hopefully he can put in another 13 or so and get to about 30 because he really needs that, 33 goals. Because that's a lot of money to be paying a guy to get 20 goals a year. So, like I said, I don't think the Devils are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make it close. But they need a lot of help, and they have a lot of teams ahead of them that they got to catch. And it just might be a little too late. And on that note, I also want to mention that they do have Jason Arnett, and he's been in trade rumors. And I heard a weird rumor with him going to the Leafs, which I don't know why. He doesn't fit in their plan at all. But he does take a solid cap hit. I believe it is $4.5 million. So I don't know, see why the Leafs would take him. But I guess if they were looking for an upfront center to go for a playoff push, this would be the guy you'd want. But at the same time, I don't even think New Jersey is going to move him. I know they're tight on cap space, but I just don't think it's going to happen. All right, so here on Radio Nation, as always, we like to read out the weird news that you probably don't often read about in your Globe and Mail or that sort of thing. So we like to kind of do that here on the show because we like to promote stuff that doesn't get a chance to be heard. So two drunk men in Calgary decided to steal and attempted to steal a Zamboni after their car got stuck in the snow. The two men were unfortunately intoxicated at the time, but fortunately they were caught in the act as an East Calgary Twin Arenas worker saw the Zamboni driving away and notified police. And finally, in the little news segment that we have here, an Australian town has changed its name from Speed to Speed Kills in an effort to promote road safety. Speed, now Speed Kills, is a rural town just outside of Victoria with a population of only 45. After the break, we're going to have our artisan, Aria Tesselin, and we're going to sit down with her and have a wonderful interview. So stay tuned for that. It's 7:51 here on Radio Nation. Coming up, some more great music.
One shot, one opportunity. is everything you ever wanted. One moment that you captured, just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty. Weak arms are heavy, there's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit, he choked. He's so mad, but he won't give up. Daddies, he know he won't have it, he knows. His whole back to these ropes, it don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows. When he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody, better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose his health in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose his health in the music, the moment you own it. The taking, make me king as we move toward a new world order. A normal life is boring, but superstardom's close to postmortem. It only grows harder, homie grows hotter. He blows, it's all over. These hoes is all on him. Coast to coast shows, he's known as the Globetrotter. Lonely roads, God only knows he's grown farther from home. He's no father. He goes home and barely knows his own daughter. But hold your nose, cause here goes the cold water. These hoes no more, he's cold product. They move. Smooth who flows, he knows dove and sold nada. So the soul proper is told, it unfolds. I suppose it's old partner, but the beat goes on. That it up, that up. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity. Change what you call rage. Tear this motherfucking roof off like two dogs' cage. I was playing in the beginning, the mood all changed. I've been chewed up and spit out and booed off stage. But I kept priming and stepped right in the next cipher. Best believe somebody's paying the Pied Piper. All the pain inside amplified by the fact that I can't get by with my 9 to 5. And I can't provide the right type of life for my family. Cause man, these goddamn food stamps don't buy diapers. And it's no movie, there's no Mekhi Pfeiffer. This is my life and these times are so hard. And it's getting even harder trying to feed and water my seed. Plus, see the thought I caught up between being a father and a prima donna. Baby mama drama screaming on her too much for me to want to stay in one spot. Another damn monotony's gotten me to the point I'm like a snail. I've got to formulate a plot or end up in jail or shot. Success is my only motherfucking option. Failure's not. Mama love you, but this trail has got to go. I cannot grow old in Salem's lot. So here I go, it's my shot. Feet fail me not. This may be the only opportunity that I got. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better.
Yeah. time every cabal cabal. Just for your barrel, sit down for me la bar la bar. She man a call Mr. Bar the bar. Creme de la creme, cream of a bar. Some say them hot, but she atta atta. Make me stutter.
She's hot.
Mommy call me Richard Gere. Is it cause I run through pretty women? Yeah, pretty women here, pretty women there. Plenty women, many women, any woman, anywhere. That's what I'm known for. T.O.K. Pitbull, what else can you ask for? International players, but it just take the passports. Anytime, any place, anywhere, we don't care. They won't lie, what I want. All the mommies with their little shirts, short skirts, fronting with their little purse, show me what I want. Stop acting bougie, baby, you already know what it is and how it goes. So come on, let's go.
Welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm joined with Aria Tesselin. So, welcome, Aria. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, we're going to get right into this interview here. So, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a classically trained singer. I'm still being classically trained now. And I sing a bunch of different types of music. I sing a bit of jazz, classical, opera, and my own original compositions.
What got you started in singing?
Well, I started singing when I was 3 years old to Disney movies and stuff like that. And I got so much more into them than any other kids did. I always, you know, practiced them. Like, there would be one particular song that I'd just sing over and over all day long. And I remember even when I was really little, we had this hammock in my backyard, and I'd just be out there on the hammock singing all the time. As long as I was outside, I was singing.
And who are some of your biggest influences in your life, and musically or just in general?
Well, when I was younger, one of my biggest influences was Andrea Bocelli. He really paved the way for a lot of my singing interests and stuff like that. But later in life, it's evolved. You know, Maria Callas in opera, she has a fantastic voice. Cecilia Bartoli is a mezzo, and I'm also a mezzo at the moment. So I just find that I can relate to her. And in terms of musical influences right now, some of the more popular bands I listen to kind of influence my songwriting. So bands like Mother Mother, Amy Lee from Evanescence are kind of influencing my songwriting right now.
And I was reading on your website that you're the youngest, or you were the youngest opera singer in the world at the age of 12. How did you get into opera?
I think I got into opera because of Andrea Bocelli. My mom started playing one of his CDs, and I just, when I was about 6 or 7, and I just started, you know, dancing around, and I loved the music, so I started kind of learning that music, and it just evolved from there. I saw my first opera when I was 8, and it was Carmen, and as soon as I left the opera, I decided that I was going to learn one of the songs from this opera, and that would be the first song I ever learned in opera.
And what song was that?
It's called Habanera from Carmen. It's a really popular tune. You'd recognize it if you actually heard it.
Perfect. So in 2006, you released your first CD, Baby Soprano. Tell me a little bit about the CD.
Okay. I was 12 when I recorded it, and it's a 14-track album of almost completely opera and a few canzone napoletana, which are like Italian folk songs, and I think one Ave Maria. So they're all very, very operatic songs, and it actually sparked a lot of controversy, sort of, because most people believe that someone shouldn't be singing these songs at such a young voice, and at such a young age, and it would totally ruin my voice. But it hasn't. I'm still singing right now. So
why do you think they said that, beyond the fact that, like, because of your voice? Did you say that because it was like stubbornness, that no one else had really done that, or why do you think?
I think it was partially the fact that nobody else had really done that before, and partially just because when you're singing opera, you're supposed to have like your voice isn't completely developed until you're in about your mid-20s. So technically I wouldn't have been singing with the full capacity that I will when I'm, you know, 25. But at the same time, I should still be allowed to sing the songs. It doesn't mean that I'm going to sing them to my 100%, but they were against singing the songs entirely, so I don't completely understand that, but I kind of understand where they were coming from.
Right. So you performed your first concert at the age of 8 years old, and since then you've performed with the Canada Three Tenors and the Canadian Tenors. What is it like performing with bands like this?
It's pretty fantastic. I mean, I remember when I was performing with the Canadian Tenors, and it was a really last minute thing, and I just had like a few days to learn my song, and I wasn't as proficient in like learning music as I am right now, because it was a few years ago, but it was just so fantastic to be on the stage in front of like a great audience with amazing singers, four amazing singers. And when I was younger, when I was, I think, 9, I had my first concert with the Three Canadian Tenors, and you know, they were so professional and fantastic and inviting that I felt great to be a part of that, to be with them.
Did you take anything away from that experience in terms of, like, did you learn something?
Oh yeah, it was my first performance. Like, it basically paved the way for all the other performances that I've had, and you know, learning how to interact with an audience, and like, I never really had stage fright, so that was never a problem for me, but being able to see an audience, see what their reactions are, and learning from that has increased my performance ability, and it basically started this whole thing.
You're obviously an extremely talented young woman.
Thank you.
Can sing in 5 different languages. I want to know what the 5 languages you can sing in.
Okay, so I sing in Italian, English, French, German, and Spanish. Actually, I also sing in Latin sometimes, so I guess that's 6 languages.
So how did you learn those languages?
I don't speak all those languages. I speak English, and I'm pretty good with French as well. But I guess I was just born with a knack for the pronunciation. Like, all the languages are pronounced a little bit differently, but I have a bit of Italian background, so the Italian wasn't too difficult for me, and it's very similar to a lot of the other languages like Latin and Spanish. German is the only one that, you know, really takes a lot of intense learning because it's so different from any other language. So that one, it's just a whole lot of practice.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine that. What has been the biggest challenge in your career so far?
I think the biggest challenge was probably overcoming a lot of the criticism that I received, especially when I was younger and when it's harder to take criticism, because when you're young, you know, you hear criticism, it kind of sets you back a lot more than it does now. I mean, you can never ignore it when you're young. I remember when I was about, I think I was 10 or 11 or something, I went to sing for some people, and they basically said that, you know, I shouldn't really sing anymore, or that I should only be singing certain types of music, none of which I was singing. Basically, the songs were way beyond me, and I shouldn't be doing that. So that made me really scared to sing for a really long time. So overcoming that and realizing that I could do that and that I could do what I want as long as I did it properly, that was something that was my biggest difficulty in overcoming.
And when did you realize, or when did you start to sort of know, I've overcome this sort of criticism and this sort of the challenge that you faced?
Well, you never overcome it 100% really, but slowly through the past couple of years, I've just realized that not everybody is right. Not everybody can be right about what you're doing. I mean, it's my craft, it's my artistic creativity that's coming out, and no one can really say what's right or wrong. As long as I'm doing something to my voice that is safe, as long as I'm not hurting myself, then no one really has the right to say that I should stop.
And where do you see your career headed in the future?
Well, in the near future, I'm hoping to put out an album within the next year. This one will be more of my original compositions. So I hope you'll be hearing a lot more of that in the future. And just in general, I can't see myself as being a huge artist like, say, Justin Bieber, but I really want to gain a more international audience and just have my music spread. And the genre that I'm in is usually reserved for older adults, and I wanted to kind of extend that because I'm a younger person, and I kind of wanted to extend this genre to younger people and see if they can appreciate it as well.
And your plans for post-secondary education after you're done high school, where do you want to go?
I actually don't want to go to university for vocal, because I just find that, you know, if you want to go into university for singing, you can either go into jazz, or you can go into Broadway or musicals, or you can go into classical. And I don't want to dive into any of those genres 100%. I kind of like a mix of a lot of things. So I don't think university is the best place for my voice. I actually want to go to university for political science, which is another thing that I'm really, really interested in. And I want to go to U of T. That's the ideal place that I want to go and continue with singing as well.
So switching gears a little bit here, you're involved with Free the Children in that organization.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I just got involved in Free the Children a few years ago, and I just love the organization because it helps children that are like me in the same way. You know, they're the same kind of people. They're children, and they're youth like me. They've just been born in a totally different situation than I have. I was born in a first world country. I'm privileged. I have things that they don't. You know, and like, it would be great if I could help someone who is like me, who wishes they could take a music class or, you know, have food or shelter, and I can help them, and they're just like me. They're just living in another country, in another situation. And Free the Children is just a fantastic organization. And Craig Kielberger started it when he was 12, and it's just been growing ever since then. And it kind of shows that youth can really change the world in what he did.
Just how do you support what exactly do you do with Free the Children? Do you support them through donation or do you?
Well, less through donation, more through promotion and awareness. Actually, one of the first songs that I wrote was kind of dedicated to Free the Children, and it was kind of about the children that they help. And I do it with more promotion and awareness so that other people will be able to donate. And I just kind of show them where it's at and supporting the organization in general.
And you perform live on Friday at the Central here in Toronto.
Yep.
Can you give us an idea of what the show might be like?
Okay, so this show is a little different from anything that I've done before. It's going to feature a lot of more jazzier tunes and some tunes of my original composition. So this is stuff that I've never performed before, and even some that it hasn't even been recorded. And a few smaller artists, like rock ballads and folk ballads, and it'll just be an interesting mix of these things. So.
And if anybody out there is interested in getting tickets, how would they go about doing so?
Well, you can get the tickets on my website, which is www.ariateslin.com. There will also be a few tickets available at the door if you come early. So as long as you get there, then the tickets should be available.
And the show starts at 7 o'clock?
Yep. Show starts at 7, should end around 9, probably a little earlier, but I'd say be there a little bit early so you can get good seats.
So is there anything else you'd like to add to our interview?
No, but thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
So we're going to play the song Dolce, and then we'll play the song Now That I Know, the two songs that you've done. So mm-hmm. We'll play them. So we'll play the first one we'll play is Dolce, and it's a great song. And this is the first one I listened to when I was going through the thing on Reverb Nation, and probably my favorite song that I've listened to of the ones that you have on the site. So We're going to play Dolce, and here it is.
So this is how it appears. You must have known it was true. Look so wonderful wearing that smile. I could be there smiling with you. I love to look in your eyes. Seems like you stare at my soul. Can you imagine just looking through each other like nothing could make us more whole? Has anyone told you you light up the sun? You weren't playing, but you've already.
All right, welcome back. So that was Dolce, and that's a great, great piece. So the next place we're going to play is Now That I Know. So here it is, Now That I Know.
Will greet me with their twinkling light. That's when I know I'm in love. Clouds part so the sun can light the way, and to meet me every break of day, that's when I know I'm in love. It's when rain turns to snow and the weather is cold and blue, but still spring. Is the only sound I know I've fallen in love. It's when rain turns to snow and the weather is cold and blue, but still spring is all I know.
All right, so that was Now That I Know, and Aria, you want to add a little something else to our little interview here, so feel free.
Sure. Actually, Now That I Know, the song you just heard was an original composition by myself, and the one before that, Dolce, I actually wrote the lyrics to that. It was a Canadian-Italian collaboration because the melody was, and the song itself was actually written in Italy, and then they sent it over here. I wrote the lyrics and recorded it, so it's a real collaboration of the countries, so that's pretty interesting. And I just wanted to add about Free the Children that I have a donation page attached to my Facebook. So if you go on my Facebook fan page, then you can find a way to donate to Free the Children.
And did you want to talk about your upcoming show? Like, I understand you have some band members. Did you want to talk a little bit about that, too?
Oh, yeah, the upcoming show I have, it'll just be me and my band members, and they're just fantastic musicians. One of them is Max Sennett, who has, he's played with Alex Cuba, who is a Juno Award winning musician, and they're all just very accomplished musicians, and I'd really suggest you come out to see the show because it's going to be a really interesting thing. Probably not like anything you've seen before because it's a combination of, you know, great musicians and a bunch of different genres and interesting things. So,
perfect. We'll definitely have to check it out then. Thank you very much for coming on to the show tonight. It's been a lot of fun. I know it was kind of short notice, but thank you very much for coming in.
Not a problem.
Well, that's it for here at Radio Nation. thank you again for listening, everybody. It's 8:30 here. Next week, we'll have hopefully get another great artist to come in. We're going to be talking some hockey. It'll be the trade deadline, so we're going to be talking a little hockey. We'll be talking some other issues as well, some politics, some great stuff. So you won't want to miss that show. Don't forget to check out the original soundtrack on Fridays, 5 p.m., hosted by Josh Skinner. It's also a great, great show. And Redline Radio is on Saturdays as well. You won't want to check that out, as well as Treble Talk. So those are some great shows that you want to listen to. If you like this show, you'll like the others as well. So once again, thanks for listening and have a great night.